But there are not too many performers or their bodies of work that is more legendary than this. This is the sign-off song for the legendary Carol Burnett Show that ran on CBS from 1967 to 1978. A good old-fashioned variety show, and the first woman to host a variety show on television. In fact, when Carol Burnett was given this assignment, they thought it was going to be a summer replacement show and thought, woman's never done a show like this before. This is never going to work. And it became so enormously popular. This following her success on the old Gary Moore show, in which she was a supporting player and won her first Emmy Award from her work on the Gary Moore show. And before she appeared on Broadway and won a Tony Award nomination for her appearance in Once Upon a Mattress, Carol Burnett has gone on to just amazing, amazing success, especially on television through her Carol Burnett Show that won 23 Emmy Awards. It's got to be some kind of record for a television program. But she would go on to motion picture success, Broadway success. She would win the Presidential Medal of Freedom, awarded by President George W. Bush, the Mark Twain Prize for American Comedy, the Kennedy Center Honors, and she was named to the Television Academy's Hall of Fame as well. Very, very deserving for just truly one of the great performers of all time, for which I was honored to be able to spend some time together. The other day we talked on the telephone because Carol is coming to Chicago next week. As a matter of fact, it's just 2 days after her birthday. She'll be at the Chicago Theater on Thursday, April 28th for this amazing show that she puts on that is a retrospective of her career in which she completely interacts with the audience. Tickets still available for that, by the way, at the Chicago Theater box office or through Ticketmaster outlets. But I asked Carol to describe a little bit, telling me about the show and kind of getting this thing up and running again, because the show had literally been delayed four times because of the pandemic.
Well, I just finished doing four shows earlier this month. And in one, because it was 2 years for all of these venues that had been postponed, so all the audience had held onto their tickets for 2 years. And this one woman raised her hand, and she said, "I bought two tickets 2 years ago for my 101-year-old mother." And I said, "Oh, that's so sweet." And she said, "And we're here tonight." She was 103.
Holy smokes. Wow. That's amazing.
I'm expecting her to say, "Oh, and she passed away," you know, and all.
Right.
She's still there at 103. Right. And she stood up and took a bow. The audience went crazy.
How about that? Well, you know, those Carol Burnett Show fans, they're loyal. They're when they have tickets, they're not going to go anywhere.
I guess not. But
really. Yeah. That's amazing. What kind of reception, Carol, have you been getting now that you're back on the road and doing these shows around the country? I would think that after the pandemic and all that the world has been going through and is going through, a night of comedy with a longtime friend has got to be such a welcome event in their lives.
The audiences, they've been wonderful. And pretty much the way they have always been, except with the exception that now I'm getting the age group now goes from maybe 7 years old up to 99 or 103.
103. We now can verify 103, right?
Yeah. Well, not too long ago, I was doing one of these, and you know, it's really laughter and reflection where the audience asks the question. So it's a Q&A. you know, so I don't do stand-up because the audience is my partner. And so this one time I called on this little boy. It was all random. And he raised his hand, and I said, "What's your name?" And he said, "Andrew." And I said, "How old are you, Andrew?" And he said, 9. And I said, "And you know who I am?" And there was a pause, and he said, "Surprisingly, yes."
That's amazing. It's amazing, but it's not really amazing to me, because your show, your comedy, is really, it's timeless.
Well, thank you. It's yes, funny is funny, and we never, very seldom were topical. You know, we didn't do that much about what was going on with the news or anything. We just, we were a throwback to vaudeville. We wanted to just do funny, funny shows. And I dare anybody to look at Tim and Harvey doing the dentist sketch and not lose it, because it's one of the funniest bits of comedy ever, and that's over 45 years old.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was watching a rerun the other day, and it was a sketch that you had all done, which you and Tim were husband and wife, Tim Conway. Lyle Wagner was a veterinarian who was supposed to give a little dog an injection, but instead accidentally gives it to Tim Conway, and he takes on the attributes of a dog. I mean, that's the premise, and take it from there with you and Tim Conway. I was crying laughing, even though I had seen it a million times.
Of course, it was he really, he nailed it, you know, and lots of times, we would tape two shows on a Friday in front of two different audiences. The first show was what we call the dress rehearsal, but we taped it. And Tim would do the sketches the way we'd rehearse them, as we used to say, to the ink. And then on the second show, once he knew that the first show had been taped and it's in the can for safety, then he would go off script. And we would let him. I would let him, you know, because it was pure gold. And I would say 90% of the time we would use what he did on the second show. He could go all this. There might be a 4-minute sketch, and he would stretch it to 8 minutes, you know. But and we would keep it in. And because, you know, that was. People waited for him to do that. You know, they looked forward to it. And I learned something many years ago when I was what we call second banana on the old Gary Moore show. I don't know how many of your listeners remember that.
Yeah. But I remember it fondly.
Gary would, his name was, he was a star, but Durward Kirby was a second banana, and I was. And Marion Lorne, and we would be reading the script on a Monday, and Gary might have a joke or a punchline or something, and he'd look up and he'd say, "You know what? Give this joke to Durward, or give it to Carol. They can say it funnier than I can."
I think about that when I watch your old shows, even though it's your name on the show, how generous you were. Letting everyone around you be funny. Yeah.
Right. Well, that only makes the show better. I always, yes, my name was on it, but it was a true rep company. There was many times I would be supporting Harvey or Vicky, or then Vicky would be supporting Tim, or Tim would be supporting Harvey. And that only made the show better, because I wanted everybody to score a touchdown. And they did. We would turn it over. I would let Vicky have it, you know, have the brunt of the thing, and Tim and Harvey, and then they would support me. So it was a true rep company.
Yeah, and you know, which kind of, you know, also brings me to the subject of what an enormous undertaking putting on the Carol Burnett Show must have been every week. It was like a different Broadway show every single week with the yes. musical numbers and the costumes and this array of guests that you had, coming on the program. There is nothing like it anymore.
No, it's too bad. Well, actually, I wanted that. I wanted it to be a musical comedy review every week. And we also, most of us coming from live television, I didn't want the live studio audience sitting there for hours while we took our time changing clothes or scenery or anything. I was adamant about doing it as close to being a live show as possible. And so it went with, by doing that, our studio audience was there maybe for 2 hours at the most. So that would be the time you would spend watching a Broadway show. And I remember I used to bet the crew that I could do a skin out costume change faster than they could move a couch across the stage. Because I've done some guest shots on sitcoms that it's maybe 21 minute, 22 minutes of actual show, and they take maybe 4 or 5 hours to do it. Well, that's crazy. What are they doing? Making a movie? I mean, when I worked with Lucy, when she had not I Love Lucy, but the later shows, she did it just like a live show. Yeah. We'd be out of there once we started taping in front of an audience. We'd be out of there no later than maybe 30 or 40 minutes. We'd be gone, and it was done. It was in the can, and it had that live spontaneity. The audience wasn't bored. That's the way we did my show.
Yeah, she talks more about her mentor, Lucille Ball, as we continue this morning with Carol Burnett. Spending all hour one-on-one with Carol Burnett. This is Carol and her mentor, Lucille Ball, who helped her along the way in our conversation. Carol told me about the first time that she met the great Lucille Ball.
Lucy was a mentor, I remember. The first time I met her, I was in an off-Broadway show called Once Upon a Mattress, and she came to see me in the show. I was more nervous knowing she was in the audience than I was opening night with all the critics, And she came backstage, and she called me. She was 22 years older than me, she said, "Kid, if you ever need me for anything, give me a call." So about four or five years later, I was doing well, and CBS had offered me an hour-long special if I could get a major guest star. And the producer said, "Well, you got to call Lucy." And I was embarrassed. I said, "Well, I don't want to bother her." And, he said, "Well, all she can do is say no." She did say, "Give me a call if you ever need me." So I got up the nerve, and I called her office. She came on the phone right away. "Hey, kid, you're doing great. What's happening?" And I flumpered around, and I was nervous and stuttering and everything. And I said, "Well, I know you're busy," but then she said, "What is it?" And I said, I'm going to be doing this special for CBS." And she interrupted me, and she said, "When do you need me?" That was it.
Wow. And now it's interesting to watch people like Amy Poehler and Jane Lynch and this whole generation of actresses, comedic actresses, who worship you in the same way, deservedly so. That must be gratifying to you.
Well, it's very sweet. And what's nice, I'm just thrilled that so many women have their own production companies, and they're writers, and they're the head of their company, and they're running it, they've pretty much, not quite yet, but shattered the glass ceiling. I mean, when I think of Amy and Tina Fey, and of course, how how brilliant are some of these other women? Kristen Wiig and, oh, gosh, Maya Rudolph, yeah. Jane, all of them. And when I got my start, there weren't that many women. You know,
right.
There was Lucy, there was Imogene Coca. But yeah. I I'm kind of lost at and then later Nanette Fabre, who was great with Sid Caesar. You know,
right,
but,
right, yeah. So many of these actresses that you list say that they decided they wanted to do it because they watched the Carol Burnett Show every week.
I'm very flattered about that, but what I say to that is, if I'd never been born, they'd be doing what they're doing. Talent will out. They will have found you. And then my idol at one point was Sid Caesar, you know, because I loved the way he did his show with the sketches, and he did have musical numbers, and he had different characters that he would do, and he had a rep company, you know, with Carl Reiner and Howie Morris and Imogene and so forth. So in a way, and I patterned my show after him, and also I have to say Gary Moore. You know, so, but I don't know. If they had never existed, maybe I would be doing something different, but I know I would be working at something. I know that. And I know these ladies, these women would be doing what they're doing, too.
The legendary Carol Burnett, her Evening of Laughter and Reflection is at the Chicago Theater on April the 28th. Can't wait. We'll be back and talk more with Carol in just a moment.
Wait. What? Come on, Andrew!
Back with Carol Burnett on 720 WGN. Carol, we had on our WGN TV morning news a couple of weeks ago, three of the Jackson 5. I believe it was Randy, Tito, and Jermaine who were on us. We showed the clip of when they were guests on your show, when an earthquake hit, and you were in the middle of a sketch, and the earthquake hit. What do you remember from that?
Well, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I remember the audience went, ooh, you know, and there was a reaction, and you could see the reaction of people on, you know, the Jackson 5, and also some of our other dancers when we were doing the thing where I was a school teacher. And I remember I kept going, and I said something like, you see what happens when you don't pay attention, the earth moves. Or I said something like that, but we kept going.
Cracked everybody up and just kept right on going like the pro that you were. they remembered it fondly as well. They remembered what a great week that was for them, and talk to me about the kindness that you showed them, how nice you were behind the scenes to them during that week in which they were featured on your show.
Oh, they were, well, you know, they were terrific, and you know, I'm very flattered by that compliment, but why not be nice? I mean, again, you know, one of the nicest people I ever knew in my life was Gary Moore, working with him and how he conducted himself around people in the show. But it wasn't just being nice, you know, because you had a show. He was nice off camera, too. And why not be nice?
Right. It seems funny to get a special accolade for doing something so normal, right? You had such an array of guests on your show. Are there ones that stood out in your mind? I know you had Jim Nabors on the show all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It was a tradition for him to help kick off your seasons. But who are some of the other special guests with whom you were so happy to work?
The first person we ever signed, she wasn't on the first show, but she was the first person we asked to be on the show, and it hadn't started yet, was Bernadette Peters. She was 19 or 20 at the time. and we had Bernadette on quite often. Another favorite was Steve Lawrence, because not only could he sing up a storm, he was hysterically funny in all the sketches. He was a brilliant comedic actor. I remember when our show went into syndication, and it was been just a half hour, and all the musical numbers had been cut. So it was just a half hour of the sketches. And Steve said that he and his wife, Edie Gourmet, were at an airport one day, and these teenage girls ran up to him and said, "Hey, you're that funny guy in the Burnett Show." they didn't realize that he could sing, you know, that he was a singer. Another one was Ken Berry. Ken Berry was a brilliant comedian, and hello, one of the greatest song and dance men you'd ever want to meet. I remember when we did a takeoff on a Fred and Ginger movie, and he was acting like Fred Astaire. He was absolutely brilliant, and we heard from Fred Astaire complimenting Ken Berry on his dancing and singing and acting.
Talk to me a little bit about what qualities you thought Betty White exhibited for the world. You know, in her passing this past New Year's Eve, everybody, talk about somebody who had appeal from age 7 to 103. Everybody loved Betty White. What were those qualities that she had that made her so beloved her entire career, do you think?
I don't know. She exuded kindness, and she was bawdy, you know, which in a very, how can you say it, bawdy in a clean way? You just loved it when she would come on to the guys. You know, she was so funny that way. And she had great comedy chops. You know, when you think of her at first on Mary's show, and the Golden Girls, and doing our show, she was always funny. And I don't know, there are people, when you see them on the screen, you feel like you know them. And I think people felt like they knew Betty.
The Evening of Laughter and a Reflection is going to be at the Chicago Theater on April the 28th. Now, I've gone to a couple of these shows that you've done here in Chicago where it's just you on the stage.
I open with showing about 7 minutes of some of my favorite Q&As from my show, so that the audience in the theater gets the idea. And then there are no planted questions at all. I play without, I go without a net, because I want it to be honest. And that's what I used to do on my show. And so I come out, and we bump up the lights, and there are ushers with flashlights so that I can see, and they turn the flashlights on, and they have microphones. And then I'll just point to a flashlight over here or one up in the balcony or whatever, and somebody will have a question. And I answer it as best I can, hoping that, it's a fun question that I can answer.
Tickets are still available for Carol Burnett at the Chicago Theater Thursday, April 28th. We have more with Carol Burnett coming up next from the Chicago Theater. That's where Carol Burnett will be on April the 28th. This week from Thursday, the 28th. Tickets are available at the Chicago Theater box office or through Ticketmaster for this very, very warm and nostalgic night with one of the great TV legends. A show, by the way, that has been scheduled 4 different times and postponed because of the pandemic for the last 4 years. One of the things I talked to Carol about is what she did during her time during the pandemic.
Well, I live in Santa Barbara, and my husband and I have a home here. And, we had a little kind of a Zen garden on our property. So we were able to have people come over, and we'd be outside, and they'd be more than 6 feet away. So we visit with our neighbors. And we would visit, we would have maybe a cocktail and some hors d'oeuvres and everything, you know, and just sit and when the weather was right, you know, because we didn't go inside with anybody, and we keep busy with our crossword puzzles. I watched a lot of movies, and we'd go for walks, you know, around the neighborhood, and that was it, you know. And so in a way, it was just kind of going away on a vacation, but you're in your own home.
Right, and you didn't know when the vacation was going to end.
Right, we have a pet that we love, and so, you know, but again, we would see friends, and but it would be, as I say, outside, and, yeah, you know, just distancing, so, but we could visit, you know, and that was good, that helped us.
And safely, of course.
I just have to say, recently, I just got the fourth vaccination, I got the booster.
Oh, good. Very good.
The latest, the latest booster. You just got it last Friday.
Latest and greatest, yeah. So you'll be coming into the Chicago Theater fully vaxxed and boosted.
Absolutely. And what I do, too, just before I leave, I test, you know, to make sure that I'm negative, you know, to make sure of all of that. And all the people around me, my stage manager, you know, they test, too, and they're vaxxed. So we're still very, very careful.
I wonder if during the pandemic, you know, you were being approached about new projects, working on new projects. Are there things that are going to be coming up in which we'll see Carol Burnett starring?
Well, there is, but I'm sworn to secrecy. I did a guest shot on a television series, and it will be on soon, but I was like, nobody wanted me to say what I was doing, so I can't say.
I understand.
But I
understand.
Had a great time. Yeah,
I understand. It's one of those things, ladies and gentlemen, that if she told me, she'd have to kill me, so you know, we'll just leave it, we'll just keep our ears peeled for...
No, I would be willing to tell, but the producers, they say, please don't say anything, so...
No, I understand, anyway. I completely understand, yeah. I'm glad to hear that we'll be seeing you in something, whatever it is, and we'll learn about that.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, it's not really the kind of comedy that you do, but I wonder, as just an observer of comedy through the years, comedy has just really come under fire lately for the kind of material that some comedians do that gets a bad reaction, and the kind of reaction that it's getting, in which some people go up on stages if they don't like what the comedian's saying. Some comedians get fired, you know, in this cancel culture world in which we're living. Is this a tough time to be a comedian, do you think?
Well, I'm not one of those, I'm not a stand-up, so I don't do that. But I think it's terrible that comedians, I remember Don Rickles, my goodness, that was his whole act, was insulting, and people, you know, okay, don't take it so seriously. That's my view, you know. Yeah. And so I feel sorry for the stand-ups who are worried now if they say something, is somebody going to shoot them? You know, what's going on here? It's crazy.
Right.
It's absolutely
crazy. lose their jobs and not get bookings. They dumb down their comedy to, you know, to make it you know, more generic, and I just feel like comedy suffers as a result, because comedians have always pushed the envelope.
We're talking about stand up, but then you think, you know, about edgy, you know, for sitcoms or this and that. For that, I'm not for it when they get too edgy, because so many times you think that one of these sitcoms is written by teenage boys in a locker room. They're scatological for no good reason except to get a laugh. When you look at it today, you look at All in the Family, look at Dick Van Dyke's show, Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart, those were classy shows and funny as hell. And they didn't stoop to being, quote, edgy, you know. I like edgy if it's for a good, if it's really funny, but to be just gratuitous, I'm just bored with it, and I don't watch it.
It's just such an interesting time, I think, to be a comedian, and I think that's part of why it's so warm and wonderful. It's like a big hug when you go to see Carol Burnett in an evening of laughter and reflection. We're lucky to have it at the Grand Chicago Theater. It's going to be April the 28th, and some tickets are still available. If you go to the box office or if you go to Ticketmaster.com, you can be part of this very special evening. I cannot even tell you, Carol, how much I'm looking forward to that evening, and how much I always love when we can spend a little time together. I'm so glad we had this time together, if I may borrow a phrase.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was lovely talking to you, too. Thank you, Dean.
Carol, have a great day. Okay. Thank you again.
You too, dear. Bye-bye.